Fill my whole being, consume my life, Spirit of God. The vessel I want to be, so that you can come, Lord, Spirit of God. Amen. Oh, Spirit of God, move, place your word in my heart, fill my, consume my life, move, sing it, brother, so that you, Spirit of God, move, amen. Lord, Spirit of God, amen. Spirit of God, move, place your word in my heart, fill my whole being, consume my life. Spirit of God, move, an empty vessel I want. So that you can come, Lord.
One more time, Spirit of God, move, amen.
Oh, Spirit of God, move, place your word in my heart, fill my whole being, consume my life. Spirit of God, move, an empty vessel I want to be, so that you can come, Lord, and fill me.
Yes, man.
Abba, Father, is what I cry. See your affixing to be poured on the earth. For this message that was for my desperate cry. Oh, Spirit of God, move, place your word in my heart, fill my whole being. Consume my life. Oh, Spirit of God, move, empty vessel I want to be, so that you can come, Lord, and fill me. Spirit of God, move, place your word in my heart, fill my whole being, consume my life. Oh, Spirit of God, move, an empty vessel I want to be, so that
Spirit of God, move, as you will in my heart, fill my whole being.
Gracious Lord, move upon us this morning, Lord. You know, you moved us from our old thoughts to guide us into the new thoughts, to live a different way, one according to your word, the one that was truly praised, the original word, the original life, that original seed, Lord. Your bride is here, Lord. We're ready to get impregnated by you this morning, Lord. You know, we open our hearts, Lord, knowing, Lord, that you'll come and speak to us. Knowing, Lord, that we need your word at this time. We need you this time, Lord. Even more now than ever, Lord. You know, Lord, you move upon our hearts, Lord. You move in our lives. And we just want to look towards you, Lord, knowing that we are a part of that work, Lord. You know, Lord, it's just wonderful to see that each and every one that are here this morning, Lord, you're moving on their lives. You know, Lord, you've taken us up into the heavenlies, Lord, and now we can spread our wings, Lord. Fly over the storm, into the storm. Set our eyes towards you, Lord, because, Lord, we know, Lord, that things are going to happen this year, but we also know your word's going to come. The bar of your word's going to be lifted. And Lord, you're the one that makes this, Lord. It's a more of a consecration to you, Lord. A more dedication, Lord, to you, Lord. You know, Lord, this is what we want. What we want, need, is more of you. More love. Because this morning, Lord, that's our heart's desire this morning, Lord. So this morning, Lord, we look towards you. Be our guide. Be our all in all this morning, Lord. And know, Lord, you are the God of our hearts. You are the King on the throne of our hearts this morning. So this morning, Lord, we just want to commit this time into your hands. In Jesus Christ's precious name we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you all this morning. How are we? Hey, awesome. Good to see each and everyone's happy face. The splendor of the King. Amen. How great is our God. Amen. You love him this morning, brethren. Oh, do you love him this morning, brethren? The splendor of the King. Amen. And here we are, the fruit of his loins. Amen. You love him this morning. You love him this morning, brethren. You know, wonderful. How great is he? Amen.
Splendor of the King, oh, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice,
let all the earth rejoice.
He rants in death and light,
and darkness,
and darkness rises high,
and trembles,
and trembles at his voice, and trembles at his voice.
How great
compared.
He chose himself
you and my
to cry.
Bless the hands they give it to you, Lord. And also, Lord, let it be used for your kingdom. And we ask these things now. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. Brother, sister, attend and greet one another this morning. Amen.
God bless Brother Calvin.
Bless each other in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Hi. Shall I lead him? Brother Larry, I have a song.
Bless you, brother.
Yo. Yo.
Sister.
I bless you, my brother.
God bless you out there in Zoom land. Good to see your faces and the ones we don't see. Are you going to turn your cameras on so we can see you? Give us a wave. God bless you all. Here's one. Where's the other ones? God bless you this morning, brethren. Humble yourself unto the Lord, He will lift you up. If you humble yourself before the Lord, He will lift you up. Oh, He will lift you, He will lift you up. He will lift you up. If you humble yourself before the Lord, humble yourself before the Lord, He will lift you up. If you humble yourself before the Lord, He will lift you up. Oh, He will lift you.
He will lift you up. He will lift you up. If you humble yourself.
Humble yourself before the Lord, He will lift you up. If you humble yourself before the Lord, He will lift you up. Oh, He will lift you.
He will lift you up. He will lift you up.
If you humble yourself before the Lord,
yourself before the Lord, He will lift you up.
If you humble yourself before the Lord, He will lift you up.
If you humble,
yourself
before the Lord, He will lift you up.
Oh, He will lift you. Before the Lord, He will lift you up.
Oh, He will lift you.
He will lift you up. He will lift you up. If you humble yourself.
Before the Lord, He will lift you up.
Amen.
We'll sing that song, Who I Am. And we've got a song from our sister Therese this morning. Amen. And we'll get her up to sing after that song. Amen. Who am I? Amen. Oh, glorious. Take your seat at this time. We invite our sister to sing for us this morning. Amen.
God bless. This song's called Keep Me in Your Will, and it's played in the key for my brother Desmond G. Act so foolishly. Sometimes I think I'm in control and act so foolishly. Facing problems on my own, I don't know what's best for me. My mistake at times disturbs all the plans that you have made. Lord, keep me in your will. So I won't be in your way. So put me where you want to, not where I want to be. If I should ask for things I want, just give me what I need. When I complain from time to time, forgive me, Lord, I pray. So keep me in your will, so I won't be in your way. Remind me, Lord, I'm just a glove in which you place your hand. Not my will, but yours be done. Though I don't understand, the best laid plans I've made, somehow always go astray. Lord, keep me in your will, so I won't be in your way. So put me where you want to, not where I want. If I should ask for things I want, just give me what I need. When I complain from time to time, forgive me, Lord, I pray. Lord, I pray. So keep me in your will, so I won't be in your way. Verse 2. And I think we got to be like this, eh, brethren? Remind me, Lord, I'm just a glove in which you place your hand. Lord, not my will, but yours be done. Though I don't understand, the best laid plans I've made always seem to go astray. Lord, keep me in your will, so I won't be in your way. Verse
chorus.
So put me where you want to, not where I. If I should ask for things I want, just give me what I need. When I complain from time to time, Forgive me, Lord, I pray. Keep me in your will, so I won't be in your way. I need you, dear Lord, each and every single day, to keep me in your will, so I won't be in your way. Lord, keep us in your will, so we won't be in your way. Chorus. So put us where you want to, not where I want to be. If I should ask for things I want, just give me what I need. If I complain from time to time, forgive me, Lord, I pray. And keep us in your will, dear Lord, so we won't be in your way. So keep us in your will, dear Lord, so we won't be in your way. Amen.
Keep us in your will. Amen. Your will. Thy will. We've got to get rid of our self will. The will of man, and fulfill our part in God's will. Amen. If you want to stand with me at this time, we'll lift the hands of the ministry. Amen. Our ministry, because we know it's going to get challenged every day, every minute, every hour. Amen. But our Lord's here. He said we'll be sifted, but he said he's going to be there no matter what. I won't leave you. Amen. That's what he said. Amen. But look at the time when they're going through that Red Sea. Amen. Moses' arms going tired. And what happened? The people lifted his hands so that everyone last of Israel could get through that Red Sea. Amen. Lifting up each other's ministry and the ministry of the word. Amen. Praise his wonderful name. We lift up the hands of the ministry, granting the channel of inspiration, a greater vision, a greater vision, a greater revelation. We lift up the hands.
We lift up the hands of the ministry.
We lift up the people who are dying.
Through the ministry.
Through the ministry of a former age.
False doctrine and creed.
False doctrine and creed, bondage and fear. Has inspired no fear. No revelation bondage.
Of the ministry, then the channel of the word becomes so clear that we know how to master every circumstance that we face in this hour. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, God bless you, brethren. Certainly want to welcome our brother Kai and sister Jody, Joshua, Fano, and you know, always good to have our brethren here to come up fellowship with us. We're going to take off home yesterday, but I said, man, you can't come up here after so long. 3 years, I think it was the last time Brother Kai was here, and I think we counted 15 years since Sister Jody was here. Shame, sister. And want to sneak in and then tipi haere off again? No, we wanted to hold them a bit longer, have some fellowship, and that was really nice by God's grace. Amen. And then, of course, we got Brother Valera and Sister Anne here with us. Praise the Lord. And, you know, this brother and sister are my hosts when I'm in Vilnius, and they spoil me. You know, when I'm, I don't know, they must think I look skinny, so my plates get piled up. Huh? Sister Anne just piles up my plate, and it's like, but that's, you know, that's their way of expressing their love and their appreciation for the ministry, and I took the opportunity to be able to invite them to come, and I've been doing that for years. you know, invite them to come, they finally got the opportunity. Actually, Sister Anna had a testimony about that and how that the Lord allowed them the funds to be able to come. It's not like it's an easy thing, amen. But Jehovah Jireh always comes on the scene, and I know there's reciprocal things. Just have your seats for a moment, brethren. Musicians, you stay there, because brother, we're going to ask Brother Valera to come and sing for us. And you know, I don't think our brother and sister here are just for holiday. Just for holiday, they some of the seed that I've grown in my mother is from them. You know, they caused me to be a smuggler. And Sister Anne had the tactics. Take a tissue, put the seeds in the tissue. Nobody wants to look at a used tissue, right? No. And anyway, I told you how that the seed that they have in Lithuania, it just seems to flourish. They got colder growing conditions and shorter growing conditions, but ours is quite a bit longer growing conditions. And so, you know, it's just so nice to be able to see how these things work. It's funny, you know, even my pumpkins from Belarusia, mate, those things are so big. It's like, are they ready yet? I tried some of the, you know, those kamokamo are supposed to be about this big before you eat them, right? Sweet as soft. And my ones are about like this. And they're still soft and sweet. So it just seems like some seed from another country is like on steroids over here. So we got some original seed. We're going to keep that line. Amen. And some original seed. But I don't think that's the only part, because, you know, they're so good at so many different things, very skilled in a lot of different areas. Brother Valeri is like a technician in the church. He's the music man, you know, gifted in music. He's a composer. He's a songwriter. And sister, she's got a lot of skill in different herbs and teas. I was asking Brother Valera, how many different kinds of teas? You know, maybe a dozen? He says 40, 45 different types of mixtures of herbs, and all of those are growing in the garden. So there's like a real diversity in. And you can't have that kind of skill and those kind of gifts and not being able to utilize the gifts. So we really appreciate the Lord sending our brother and sister to be able to share those skills and gifts in such a time like this. Amen. Because, you know, even the title of the service this morning is, you know, how we can be free from the tentacles of mystery Babylon. And I've been talking about it in the sense of being free from colonialism, from the mental dictates of colonialism, but I wanted to be able to bring those things back through the scripture first. Amen. So I just want to ask our brother Valera to come up and Sister Anne to come up and sing for us, brother. And I think, Eli, if you fellows can get that soundtrack ready. And, you know, maybe Brother Valeri even might have some words to speak. Yeah, just use those ones, brother. Grab a hold of a mic, brother.
God bless you. It's a miracle for me that we come here. It's not believable, but we are here.
Amen.
We are very, very glad to see you, God's family, here. And for me, it's also, I thank you for good work, words, Brother Malcolm, that you share. Sorry for my English. It's so short. It's not our language.
Yeah.
We just want to be used for God's family. And we singing our songs. We want to sing this song. It's maybe written 10 years ago. My wife become just English words. This is not normal. Our language is mostly Russian language, but she become English word, and she write it. And then I believe it will be also blessings for you when you hear the song. For me, it was also not easy to be recovered. About 9 years ago, I became stroke, and my sight was paralyzed. I can't speak, I can't sing, I can't work, I can't nothing do. But by God's grace, now I can sing in. And I made now music not so easy like before. I can't not this hand play music, but I make it with computer. And I play also with harmonic, moon harmonic. And Sister Teresa speak, do you play with harmonic? I say, no, I play with my smartphone. So there, I believe it will be a blessing for you, please.
Our prophet did God's work as a voice of God was sent. Many walls he had around, and his character was changed. In life of Brother Branham, God's love was manifest. Because Lord Jesus died for us, because he loved us first. Great is your reward, I hear God's voice. Great is your reward, you have made the right choice. You walk the hard path, and this way is mine. It brought to pass the victory in holy love divine. As this world is going down, and when evil people love, oh my Lord, I go to win, and to have such perfect love. Amid misunderstanding, the victory is mine, because I focus in my thought on holy love divine. Great is your reward, I hear God's voice. Great is your reward, you have made the right choice. You walk the harder path, and this way is mine. It brought to pass the victory in holy love divine. I am thankful, dear Lord, for your loving, keeping hand, for all troubles that I had, and my character was changed. I see those seven mountains like God's eternal sight. I'm thankful for the victory in holy love divine. Great is your reward, I hear God's voice. Great is your reward, you have made right choice. It walks the harder path, and this way is mine. It brought to pass the victory in holy love divine. And I hear God's lovely voice, dear child, you made right choice. You were faithful and might, true and precious in my sight. You went and did my labor. In sky like star you shine. Reward is great because you won in holy love divine. Great is your reward, I hear God's voice. Great is your reward, you have made right choice. You walk the harder path, and this way is mine. It brought to pass the victory in holy love divine. It brought to pass the victory in holy love divine. It brought to pass the victory in holy love divine.
Praise the Lord. You know, when you can play like Brother Valeri, to be able to play every instrument, and then that stroke actually, Sister, he had no movement, and then, you know, that's the love of a wife. She just worked those parts. Just worked them and worked them, worked them. And that was months just moving them and getting the muscles moving. And I'm wondering if that's, you know, Brother Hepper and Sister Roxanne speaking about that physio for Sister Christine. And then finally it's come to a place where, you know, you got to adapt a few things. You get adept. You just got to rearrange some things, and then finally, by God's grace, you know, you can still continue to serve God in the fullness of the capacity. Praise the Lord. Amazing that that song came to Sister in English, eh? And that's not the language. And it's just a pity that we didn't have the time to put those words up on the board, because as I was following through on the words there, very, very reflective of what takes place when a person makes the right choices, when a person stays with God in all things. Praise the Lord. And those are the things that can happen by His grace. Amen. Let's just stand to our feet, bow our heads in a word of prayer. Our gracious Father, such a wonderful thing, Lord. When I see in your word that you say the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord and he delighteth in his way. So Lord, all the trials, the tests, the tribulations are ordered of the Lord. And all of those things, I believe, Lord, is to refine us, develop us, bring us into a far greater way of understanding, because I believe, Lord, you are the greatest teacher. You're not the outside teacher, Lord. You're the inside teacher. And you teach in such a way that would confound the wisdom of this world. And you have ways, oh God, that you can stir us up from the inside until your word becomes our focal point. Until, Lord, we find your perfect strength by our perfect weakness. And it just seems like after that, Lord, a humble, meek, soft approach, your way becomes our way. And then these things, Lord, they just seem to take place automatically without even thought. The characteristics of Jesus Christ after trial, tribulation, test come on display through our lives. Sometimes, Lord, these things in our lives are misunderstood. But thou knowest these things, O God. Blessed be your wonderful name. So, Lord, we can commit our service into your hands. We trust that you would come break to us the bread of life. Allow us to look beyond the veil, to catch the vision from our heart. And then, Lord, we don't want to be just hearers of the word. We want to be doers also. So, Father, just I pray you'd allow us to see with understanding. I know, Lord, when the eunuch had picked up the book of Isaiah and he couldn't understand it, but you sent Philip by Philip Transport running beside the chariot and says, "What readest thou?" He's not just saying, "Where are you reading from?" He's saying, "How do you understand what you read?" And the eunuch said, "How can I know except somebody teach me?" And you've placed, Lord, a fivefold ministry to be able to bring us into the unity of the faith, to raise us up into the stature of a perfect man. We're thankful for those gifts that you give us, Lord. And to be able to make known events that are happening around us, those things that would sometimes come in like a flood. But when we unfold these things from your word, Lord God, it just gives us such stability. It's you, Lord, illuminating the rock so that we can step on that rock of revelation, which you are building up the church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Hallelujah. And you strengthen our resolve and our conviction in the word. Thank you, Jesus. So I'm asking these things, Lord, even mindful that we were singing, "Lift up the hands of the ministry," how important these things are. And we not only, Lord, lift up the local ministry, but the ministries, lift up the hands of the ministries, so that, Lord, they can break beyond that veil and bring the word that would be of help and assistance to the people. We thank you for these things, Lord, in advance. Giving you all the praise and the glory. Commit our service into your hands, asking these things in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, musicians. You can take your seats. I want to title the message this morning, "Set Free from the Tentacles of Mystery Babylon." Because as we know, as we sing, whom the Son is set free is free indeed. Amen. And then we hear even warnings from the ministries of Peter, from the ministries of Paul, how that people were set free and then they were taken again in the yokes of bondage. Right? He speaks about how that the enemy had come and beguiled them. And then he showed the origin of colonialism back in the Garden of Eden. Through who? The serpent. Through the serpent. He's talking about how Eve was beguiled because they had come from Judaism into Christ. They'd come from the law into grace. But now Judaism was coming to try and pull them back into the light of a former age. This is why from Matthew 24 we wanted to lift up. We had to have a further part of the word to lift us up into a place of a greater understanding, where the prophet says that we could see from eternity to eternity. What a complete understanding that would be, amen? Now, if you have that, brethren, can you make the right decisions in everything that you do in life? Absolutely. Because you're not blocked by anything. Praise the Lord. Brother Blessing, the car must be fixed. You must have got hooked up to those spark plugs. Praise his wonderful name. While you're standing, let's turn in our Bible to 2 Kings chapter 24. I want to show you from 2 Kings chapter 24 how that colonialism or mystery Babylon takes a nation, controls a nation. Because that's exactly what happened in our nation. Then I want to show you the fix, because sometimes you are a prisoner in your own country. Or you can be a prisoner in another country. And the whole thing is so that the enemy can use your gifts and talents that God gave you in his kingdom to serve in his kingdom. So 2 Kings chapter 24, I want to start from verse 8. Jehoiachin was 18 years old when he began to reign. That's a young king. Now that king would need counselors. That king would need advisors. That king, he can't hold to his young friends for advice. Because we saw when a young king did that, and their advice was to be harsh on the people and afflict them. And the king listened to that instead of the counselors, instead of the gifts of wisdom in the church. Does that happen sometimes, saints? I was talking to some brothers and they were speaking about wanting to take certain thoughts back to the majority. I said, no. Give them leadership. This is not about debate. When it comes down to the word, it's not a matter of debate. You give them selection choices. People are so caught up in mystery Babylon that they will make an emotional decision. So give them leadership. Husbands, give leadership for your homes. Make it clear. Let the trumpet give a certain sound. Show that you're under the headship of the word. Show them that you've gone from eternity to eternity, so that your wife can say, never a man spake like this before. Amen. Isn't that right, sisters? You hear that corridor coming from your husband and you think, my goodness, what wisdom you have, honey. Don't that make you feel proud, husbands? You know, your muscles start flexing, your shoulders, your chest starts to swell out. And you think, my goodness, Did that just come from my wife? She just amened me. She tautocked what I had decided to do. Doesn't that bring harmony in the home, saints? Amen. Amen. See, these are the practicalities of what we're talking about. And then you didn't have to speak three times to the children. And the rangatahi, they heard. Man, I want to be just like my dad. Hey? Because doesn't this headship run right through the whole family? Man, I want to be able to make, I want that trumpet to give a certain sound like my dad gives. Don't bypass your dad and go to your papa. I want to give a clear sound like my papa does. No, your dad. And two heads in your home. Glory. And by doing so, brethren, we are breaking the bonds of colonialism. Now let's call it what the Bible calls it. We're breaking the bonds of mystery Babylon. Glory. So Jehoiachin is this young king. 18 years old, he began to reign. Same age as Josh. And he reigned in Jerusalem 3 months. So he hasn't even broken his teeth yet. And his mother's name was Nehushta, the daughter of Elnathan of Jerusalem. No, normally they wouldn't have to show the lineage of the mother, but now showing the lineage is linking it to a certain belief structure. Verse 9, and he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. Now, brethren, you might think that sometimes this colonialism is an evil thing, but you know God can use it. Sure, to bring correction. To bring the people back to God again. To give them a hunger and a thirst for liberty. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord according to all that his father had done. At that time, the servants of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came up against Jerusalem and the city was besieged. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. You can have your seats. Praise the Lord. What a scene. Now when another nation, because we found out, you know, one of those definitions of colonialism was when a nation would go in and subdue another nation, because there's mental colonialism which would cause that people to feel inferior to the conquering power, right? And then that colonial power would come in, control the resources. They would control government, control food, and then change the culture of the people that they were conquering and bring in their own culture. That's what we could see. We looked at Revelations chapter 18, verse 2 and 3, how mystery Babylon has become a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. It's become a prison without bars. And we know that this whole world is being taken prisoner. It is only, according to Revelation chapter 13, those whose names are written in the Lamb's book of life shall not be deceived. All the rest is worshipping the beast. Every king, every nation, except those whose names are written in the Lamb's book of life, are worshipping the beast. and have taken the mark of the beast. Because we either receive what? The seal of God, or we automatically take the mark of the beast. Praise the Lord. Now, so we got Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, besieging Jerusalem. And what is to besiege Britain? It's to modern day put sanctions upon a nation. Put trade restrictions. Limit what can go into a country and what can come out of a country. Take away that country's ability to trade. And the very process is to destroy the economy. Now look at our economy. Look at our economy after COVID. It got so much more worse after COVID. After COVID, after vaccinations, after they had risen the death rate by 40%. I think it's more than that now. I haven't looked at the latest statistics. Was that the pale horse rider riding? Was his name death? Was hell, all hell following with him? So I'm trying to say, brethren, that all hell is systematically in the system. And when I was ministering to you to render unto Caesar what Caesar's, unto God what's God's, I wanted you to be able to, by the word, rightly divide between what is God and what is Caesar. What in the political realm, what mandates you can follow and what mandates you don't follow. Because those were decisions that actually brethren had to make all the way down through the ages. Because every time, now sometimes the Lord allowed another nation to take Israel, to bring them back to the word, to bring them back to the one true God. So when the economy is destroyed, and I'm trying to bring you these things back into modern day things, because look at the industry. Look at what happened to the industry. New Zealand is in a recession. Everyone is feeling the pinch. Whew. And when they can get the people into a place of economic depression, this is when they start to implement laws. This is when they start to restrict movements. This is when they understand that the people need to survive. And they are ripe to implement certain policies that if you don't do this, you can't get that. You have to be a part of the system and function in the system. But God is showing us by his word, no, I have a better way. I have a supernatural economy. Give no thought to what you shall eat and what you shall drink and what you shall put on. Because our God says, if you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things I shall add unto you. Glory. Now, if we have tentacles of mystery Babylon in us, there is fear. There is fear when the economic squeeze comes. Fear brings compromise. Fear to retain employment. You work on a Wednesday night that you gave to the Lord. Come on, I'm talking about breaking away from the tentacles of mystery Babylon to live by faith. And you got to work on a Sunday because that's the, what do they call it? What do they call it? The roster. That's the roster that was laid down. And you will be inconveniencing the other workers if you don't follow the roster. Hey? But who cares? I mean, stand on the word and watch the word come on the scene. Isn't that what happened, Brother Calvin? I like their brother's testimony. How that they adjust, they can adjust their, what did I just call it? Their roster. They can adjust their roster. Amen. And I'll show you that in the scripture. They lay down mandates. But when you make a stand for the word, Jesus comes on the scene. Well, anyway, we see how that our economy has been destroyed. Small businesses gone by the wayside, gone bankrupt. Big businesses not being able to function right. Employment so difficult so that they have to use colonialistic tactics to import workers. And we'll look at those things as well. Then they put a tighter control on the food. Nice food, good healthy food is expensive. Hey? But rubbish food is cheap. So they're controlling the food. Then they control appetites and they control behavior by food. Come on, saints. You know your appetite can change by food? The addictive elements? How do they kill? By hunger. Controlling the food. Putting addictive spices into your McD's and your K-Fried. Addictive sauces. Generate fancy tunes that you can't get out of your head in your advertisement campaign. Come on. And then when you're driving past one of these places, the pressure comes from the children. Hey, stop here, stop here. Because of tune, advertising, addictive sources. Amen. But can't we bring that to the message as well? Because you've got Peruse your source. You got Thunder's source. Come on, look at the sauces that they have and their addictive spices. Didn't we cover this when we were speaking about what God was choosing for us to eat? And he chose our diet and he said, you can eat this type of meat, but you can't eat this kind of meat. And God knew that there was poisons in those meats. And the ones with certain hooves were trampling out the poison. The ones that had four stomachs was taking the poisons out. You had to only be able to eat those meats that you could chew the cud. Those animals that chew the cud. They didn't have one stomach. So all of the poisons that were going into the animal weren't in the meat. They were going out through the filters of four stomachs. And they could chew the cud, bring it up again, get rid of the poisons. And then you can eat. God knew what we can eat. He says, of this tree, of all the trees in the garden, you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, don't eat from that. For the day that you eat thereof, that day you shall surely die. God understand about food and process. But look at how they're trying to control by food. Hybrid food. Why is there such an influx of mentally disturbed out on the streets? Food having an effect on the people. So food was to what? Control behavior. And I believe that's exactly what's happening today. So when we're looking at this portion of scripture, my point here is to show you how NZ or any other nation has been taken. When the people get desperate, this is why I can't fully understand why babies and the tamariki can go hungry to feed a drug habit or an alcohol habit, and the young ones go hungry. It's food again, right? But the people get into a place of desperation, and you know that from 2 Kings chapter 6, where they had this siege going on until, the Bible says, an ass's head sold for 80 shekels. So they know how to manipulate the economy to reach a certain point where mothers would kill and eat their babies. Is that a behavior that was coming by controlling the food? No, you remember that, right? 2 Kings chapter 6. And the pact that those two mothers had, we'll kill our baby and today we'll eat my baby and then tomorrow we'll kill yours and eat yours. Behavior, motherhood was gone. Family values were gone because of food and lack of food. And who got the blame? Elisha. For the condition of the country. Elisha got the blame. Now watch these things, because when people get desperate, they're open to take bribes. This is colonialism. Today they call it funding. And then there's certain mandates and there's certain policies that are implemented that bring such restrictions. I say anything that is against the word of God is antichrist, and we don't need it. Glory. We've got to be so careful. We've got to be so sure of these things, because I still believe God can provide in all things. Hallelujah. I still believe he can operate under a koha basis. Hey, isn't that what it used to be, Sister T.A.? Was all koha? That way you had community involvement. These days, nothing gets done unless you got funding. And then there's funding restrictions. So we got to be so careful about these things. We've got to make sure that we are staying within the word, because colonialism is antichrist. And an antichrist spirit is against the teaching of the word. Stay with the word. So people get desperate. Their whole value systems can change when they come under desperation. They can compromise, because the enemy is using bribes and placing people in areas of responsibility so that they can ingrain their system into the psychic of the people. And then we would think these are good people, and they are. But they've been changed by the system. I can think about some of our whanaunga that are in parliament now, and their value sets were changed. Hey? like Sister T.A.'s rallies, old Shane Jones, eh? No. Not even, eh? And Sister Hannah's Wanaunga. Eh? That was pretty close too. There's nephew. And then my niece. All in there that had certain real qualities, but then being a part of the system, they've got to compromise on their convictions. Because I want to show you that the first thing that is taken is the government. And then what Mystery Babylon is doing, and they find those that are resistant to the headship of the word. That's what happens in the church, to bring a split in the church. You find those that are resistant to the headship in the church. Get a faction. And then outside influences come. This is what takes place. This is what they got to do before they take the nation. Outside influences come along. And they give them weapons of warfare. They fill them with propaganda. It might be Seven Thunders propaganda. Hear what I'm saying, saints? Because that's a form of religious colonialism. They might present this preacher as being the greatest preacher in the world. He's the best teacher all over the place. Why did God allow there to be judges from every tribe? It was so that not one tribe would be lifted above the other tribes. So he chose judges from all around the tribes. So they couldn't say, ours is the greatest preacher. Ours is the greatest teacher. That's got to get out of the minds of the people, because that is colonialism too. What about those that were wanting to be the greatest in the kingdom? That was Babylonian thinking. Let it be that my two sons can be on your right-hand side and on the left. That's politics in the church. And that's just a mother's heart's desire to have their sons placed beside the word. Now, it looks like it's a good motive. It looks like it's a good objective. But it was political. And then the Lord has to say, don't you know that's the dictates of the Gentiles? But it's not so in the kingdom of God. If you want mana, if you want position, be servant of all. Isn't that what he was teaching? He said the Gentiles, those that are used to colonialism, they want position. I believe true gifts are trying to run away from position. I should have been still running. Hey? Man, look at my white hairs nowadays. I should have still run. You think he would have let me run long? Nah. So when the people get desperate, desperate measures come. When they have found these ones that are wanting to, they're not happy with what's happening in the church. Feed them weapons of mass destruction. Fill them with propaganda to spread the seed, to divide and conquer the church. Come on, saints. I was talking to some brothers about these things last night. Yesterday, sorry. And so you've got internal wars. You're not just worrying about this power that's besieging the city. There's internal wars going on too. And that's the hardest war. That's the hardest fire to put out, is the internal ones. God knows how to put it out. Man, he had a third of the angels turn against them. Jesus had 70 disciples leave him. What did Jesus do? Did he go and chase after the 70? No, he turned to the stalwarts, turned to the pillars in the church. He said, you fellas going also? But they had a revelation of the leadership in the body. They had a revelation. They say, where can we go? Thou alone hast the words of eternal life. Glory. There's something within the bride that knows eagle food. They have a longing and a desire to raise up that octave higher. They want to be in tune with the great conductor. And when you come into a certain part of the I am present tense word, hallelujah, that's what inspires. That's what moves. That's what allows the songwriters to write songs. That's what gives these singers inspiration, because they just went through the experience. Now they're living it. Now they're glorifying God for the victories that have been won. Because of his goodness and his grace. Because it's only by his grace, not because we're clever. It's only by his grace that we break into those realms. It's only by the trials and the tests and the tribulations that he gives us that we can raise up into that realm. Glory. So espionage takes place. Send in the SAS to do some reconnaissance. Is that what happens in a nation? Because if you read the scripture, brethren, if you speed read, how are you going to get that detail? They send in the SAS. Do some reconnaissance. Find out where the communication systems are. Break the communication systems. So that when somebody comes along, one of the brothers comes to shake your hand, you give him a good pump handle handshake, he's looking at his toes. And instead of looking in your eyes. Man, I don't mind if somebody, if I go to shake somebody's hands and they got a little beef with me, but they're looking me in the eye. Still with love, and then he can express his beef. Brother, praise the Lord, I'm glad you came. And then they can have some fellowship. Don't want to break the communication system, saints, because that's one of the first things that get taken is the communication system. So they send their missiles, they send their espionage, they begin to work inside without the army having come yet. And take out the communication systems. Take out the command centers. Find the GPS coordinates of where those places that we need to take out first. Amen. You know what it is sometimes? The fivefold ministry. Brother Brandon talked about that. If you read that quote that I gave you from the Pergamene Church Age, you will know that one of the main targets is the fivefold ministry. That's why you have to lift up the hands of the ministry. They'll try and kill his influence amongst the people. You don't have to stick a knife into a man's back to kill him, just kill his influence. Start a little rumor. Sow a seed of discord. Whew, that's espionage. That's the SAS. Hey, you all have to be military minded to understand my kōrero. Once you take out the communication systems, then, verse 11, and Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came against the city, and his servants did besiege it. And then after so much pressure, external, through trades and embargoes and squeezing the economy, after so much pressure with the espionage and killing of the influence, and how can you follow a young fellow like that? I mean, he's only 18. But watch, after all of that pressure, and Jehoiachin, the king of Judah, went out to the king of Babylon. And what's he got taken with him? He and his mother and his servants and his princes and his officers. And the king of Babylon took him in the 8th year of his reign. So what is Babylon just taken? The government. Has our government been taken? Absolutely. These fellows that have been taken, they're the ones that are making new rules and mandates and expect me to follow it? Not if it don't line up with the word. I'll stay with the word, sorry. No sorry about it. Because if you read what the prophet said, those that stand for the word become targets. And then they want to shut the mouths of the ministry. So after much pressure, internal pressure, external pressure, the government is taken. Babylon took the government. I want to ask you, has our government been taken? That's one of the tactics of Babylon, take the government. And he carried out hence all the treasuries of the house of the Lord. Does he take the financial institutions? Does he change the laws in the banking system? Come on. Do they increase decrease your interest rate and increase the fees? So actually your money's sitting there dead. I'd rather put it on my pillow. Absolutely. I'd rather put it in my mattress. Because you're paying for a service and you're paying more than the interest that is coming in. They change the system. They take the finance. And if they control the resources and they control the food and they control the finances, they can shut you down anytime. So what happens if you get shut down? What happens when, as we saw in the book of Genesis, when Joseph said, when money fails? Come on, saints. You're going to be able to survive when money fails? You've got to know how to come into an economy by faith. You say, oh, praise the Lord. Brother Malcolm's got a good mutter. We'll go down his place. Cool, sure, you'll be welcome. You'll be welcome. But, what about putting one down at your whare? Hey? What about getting a hold of the old rotary hoe? Hey, Brother Epa. And then get the growing bug. Just make sure you fellas maintain the growing bug when the weeds start coming in. That's why I take the mokos down there to weed, but I also take them down for harvest. Because it's not all about weeding. What we want to do is we're not there to produce leaves. We're there to produce fruit. And 100-fold. Hooray! If we're talking about going back into Edenic condition, brethren, we got to be practical about these things too. And that's why we want some of this good Lithuanian tomato plants. We want some of these good Belarusian pumpkin and kamokamo, zucchinis and all of these kind of things, huh? I tell you. So a lot of pressure that's come on. They've taken the government, they've taken the financial institutions, they've taken the banking systems. Has the banking systems changed? Is there restrictions on how trusts can operate? Absolutely. Are they controlling the money? Are they wanting to go digital? And everybody talks to me about how great AI is. And yet AI is so good that it knows every transaction that you make. And they can control what you buy or sell. And all of those things are being implemented to fulfill Revelation chapter 13. And the target is the bride. Because the mark of the beast, you won't be able to buy or sell unless you take the mark of the beast. So the target is the bride. Only those that are sealed with the Holy Ghost is the target. Everybody else will take the mark of the beast. Are you hearing me? And when they shut you down, Praise God. You got to know how to survive. Better get your fellas snorkel and goggles now. Hey? Can't swim, learn to swim. Hey? Take a walk down that beach, brother, see? Snorkel, glasses, flippers. That's all we need to get a kai. Hallelujah! And if it means swimming from Paihi over to Russell, whoo! Well, just maybe start from the rocks over to the beach and build up that supernatural power. But you see what I mean? How many right now know how to go into the ngahere and survive with just a billy, matches and salt? Piece of cake, hey, sister? Hey? Because I wonder, brethren, the squeeze that is coming, we're feeling it, but we haven't hit it in the fullness of its power yet. And these are wholesome life lessons. Wholesome. How many of you can run down a goat going uphill? Levi can. We'll send him out. We got to utilize the gifts in the body, right? We got to look at the resources and the ones that can best do those things. Levi, Kaya. The fit young ones, we send them out to get it. Answer it. Those are gifts in the body. Utilize those rangatahi for those things. They're the ones that can hold their breath the longest too. God was training them when they're young fellas. And they're screaming at the top of their lungs because they need something. God was training them for such a time like this. Let's go down a little bit. Verse 14. Man, I got to move. And he carried away all Jerusalem and all the princes and all the mighty men of valor. Even 10,000 captives. So he's taken the army, the mighty men of valor, right? He's taken the army. Because the army are answerable to the government. And he's got the government. Men, mighty men of valor. And then he takes the craftsmen and the smiths. Those are the tradesmen. Those are ones that are industrious. And I want to ask you something, brethren. Look at the amount of skilled labor that is leaving New Zealand because of economic squeeze. This is a part of colonialism too. Because you take the people from one nation and put them in another nation. Let me just read you something that I was looking at studying last night. And I wrote in this question into Google. What is an example of colonial mentality? And what came back to me was colonial mentality is a form of internalized oppression and perception of ethnic or cultural inferiority. So that a nation feels inferior to a superior nation. And then what they want to do, they want to change their kaupapa to fit the superior one. You know, these people that live a glamorous life. and I'm most miserable. They got a super yacht and a super mansion and they got all of these things, and that becomes like a colonial dictate in the mind that we need to have that. So I'm going to have to study. I'm going to have to study 7 years to get a good pay. Because anywhere between 30 and 70 ain't good enough in this society. But if I can study for 7 years, and that's 7 years without serving the Lord. 7 years where the focus is upon a colonial education system. So I can crack 120 to 200 an hour. And then I might make it. A person becomes so miserable in that kind of condition. It's not how much money you make that brings happiness. It's how close we are to God that makes us happy. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Glory. And then they said, the effects of colonial mentality among Filipinos are skin color, hierarchy, patronage of foreign culture, and desire for immigration. That's what colonialism did. Now think about it. Skin color. They want to be dark or fair? Fair. I wonder if that's the same with some other people too. Is that what that fellow Michael, is that what he did? Was he affected because he was a black fella and he wanted to be white? And all the plastic surgery and everything turned him into some... Hey, come on. So they want to be fair-skinned. It's a skin color hierarchy. Man, I don't care. Patronage of a foreign culture. They start to talk like an American. Act like an American. Got the swagger like an American. And become an arrogant. And then what was the other one? Desire for immigration. So actually, colonialism can force a people to go into a place that God didn't call them to go. Did that happen, saints, to Naomi and Elimelech? Was that economic hardship that gave them the desire to go into Moab? And then what took place after that? They ran from the black horse and they ran into the pale horse. And the pale horse's name was Death. And Elimelech was killed. And Mahlon and Chilion were killed. What was that? Fifth and sixth trumpet. Whoo! And while those things were going on, Boaz was finding himself a Gentile bride. And when did she go back? Because in the mind of Elimelech was immigration. And colonialism can do that, saints. I wonder if that was what was happening in India. Is that what was happening in the Pacific Islands? And there was a desire to, because the culture in the islands was inferior. And the desire for more, when actually they were living and happy with what they had. But isn't that the same thing here now? And everybody wants to shoot through to Aussie. And here's our brethren, break the fashion by coming back to New Zealand. Because over there you can have a better house and you can have a better car and you can have better wages. And the prices are cheaper and the gas is cheaper. Go figure. And they want to come back here. What does that? The word. Glory. But I thought that was interesting, saints, how that it can even affect people's behavior and even these kind of patterns. How clear is those things? And let me just read a little bit more before I change tech a little, because what are they taking? The skilled labor force, they've taken the military. Verse 16, and all the men of might, even 7,000, and craftsmen and smiths, and smiths 1,000, all that was strong and apt for war, even the king of Babylon, brought captive to Babylon. So he takes the skilled labor force. He takes the military. Now he's got control. They can change their mandates and they can force the implementation of their mandates. And the population can't do anything. And the king of Babylon made Mataniah, his father's brother, king in his stead, and changed his name to Zedekiah. So what are they doing? They take the government and place a puppet government that they can control, that they can manipulate, and they can continue to use the government to take the resources of the nation. Amen? And who was left in Babylon? Only the poor of the land. And why do they want the poor? Labor force. Control the labor force. So what's happening in New Zealand? Are those things clear by the patterns in the word? I'm trying to show you these things because I want you to know what you can live for, what part we can implement, and what we have to stay with the word. Will it bring heat from the government? Absolutely. It brought heat on Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But is it time to live by faith? And if you say amen to it, you're going to get a trial to be able to stand by faith, because it is not going to get easier. 2025 is not going to get easier. It's going to get tougher. But why I teach you the word is so that you have the material to know how to stand with the word. Now, okay, that's how the things was taken. That's how the government taken, the financial institutions were taken. That's how the skilled labor force was taken. That's how the military was taken. That's how the police force was taken. And even though it's not right, because in the system there's I forget the name of it. It's a systemized racism in the system. That's why, for an example, Maori are some of the highest statistics of all the bad stuff. Colonialism. That's the effects of it. Colonialism is mystery Babylon. Now, brethren, I could even come down to some simple things that mystery Babylon puts in your head. I need a break. I want to ask you, is that colonial thinking? Come on. Because you work in the slave market and they give you 2 weeks at the end of the year. Well, how gracious of them, eh? 3 weeks if you're lucky. 3 weeks if the door squeaks, because it's the door that squeaks that gets the oil. Try and translate it like that into Russian. It's the one that makes the noise. I need 3 weeks. 2 weeks ain't going to cut it for me this year. I need it for this, 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 and this. Otherwise, you're not going to get it. Lucky to get your stats these days. And you should be thankful. And your boss becomes Jehovah Jireh. No, 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 that don't work, saints. but weigh it in the balance. You know, brethren, I don't believe we need time out. This is what I'm trying to say. This is a Babylonian dictate. Because God give us not 2 weeks a year. He gives us one full day per week. 6 days you labor, on the seventh you rest. Glory! And if we did that right, because that seventh day was unto the Lord. If we do that right, mental fatigue gone. Isn't that what happened, Sister Mala? Hey? She can't wait until the doors to open. Wednesday services. Get rid of the fatigue. Get rid of the build up. Come on. Sunday. You know, saints, if you are attending service, you know, and then you go home and you're so tired and you're drained and you say, man, it was supposed to be my day off and I still got to go to church. Then you're not coming to church for the right reason. And actually, you went too long today. Well, you're going to have the same excuse next week and next week and next week because I'm going to go as long as it takes. Glory! And then you know what? Why the rangatahi resists that is because your parents were talking about it. Man, if Brother Malcolm could only just keep those services down a little bit shorter and then our teenagers will, you know, appreciate it more. And then they hear that, then that seed of colonialism is sown into the hearts of the teenagers and then they begin to talk about it and filters down to the children. Come on, saints. I'm saying I want to be free from all of the tentacles of Mystery Babylon. We want them to be able to come in and enjoy and to see and to raise up in the Word as well. But what we discuss around the table should be with wisdom. Why did they call Elisha a ballhead? Why did those young children call Elisha a ballhead? Because of the discussion that was going around the dinner table. That crazy old ballhead. And then the children come out and they say, go up, you ballhead. And two she-bears killed 42. But I'm going to tell you. Whew! So what do we got in our country? A puppet government. It doesn't know the Lord. And they can say all they like that they are affiliated with Christianity and all that thing, but no rubbish. It's by their actions that'll prove that. Trump is making himself out to be a great Christian. Rubbish. He's fulfilling prophecy. Now come with me to Daniel chapter 1. And we see the effects not only of what it took to conquer the nation, but how the individuals were being colonialized. And they're still using the same tactics, but they're only tweaking it a little. Daniel chapter 1, verse 1, in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. So this is now the narrative of Daniel as he's speaking about the same events, right? But Daniel is one of the captives. Now, I spoke to you about how that we, in the times when judgment is falling, how we can live in Goshen and not feel the effects of this judgment, because the judgment is not for you and I. It's for the world. Because didn't the Lord say unto the black horse, hurt not the oil and the wine. You are the oil and wine. You are the stimulation by revelation. We are the stimulant of God. He looked down on you when you make a stand for his word. Glory. Isn't that what we saw in the teaching on Moses? When the Lord called Michael and Gabriel together to look over the banisters, and Moses and Jochebed were praying, and the Lord says, come. Gabriel, come. Michael, look. There's somebody down there that believes my word. They're praying in that prophetic channel. Because they kept the family altar. They prayed together. And they brought forth the word, the deliverer. So this is the narrative of David now. And he's looking at the same system and how it was working on the individuals. The Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, and part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar, to the house of his God, and he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his gold. So he's taken the government, he's taken the financial institutions. Amen. And the king spake unto Espenaz, the master of his eunuchs. Now look at this, these tactics that he's employing. That he should bring certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well-favored and skillful in all wisdom and cunning and knowledge and understanding science, and such as had the ability in them to stand in the king's palace. So what's he going to do? He's going to colonialize them. Come on. He's going to rehabilitate them to serve in his kingdom. And he's taking the best. He's taking those that are gifted and wants to use them. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank. Is he controlling them by food? Is he training them by food? Are they being domesticated by food? Will they lose the ability to find their own food? Now, come on, saints. That's why I asked you earlier. Can you go into the ngahere and get a feed now? It's a couple of years. That means a lot of others is no. This is the thing, saints, because colonialism takes away our ability to find our own food. That's why I keep my dogs. Sometimes I only get out once every month or 2 months. But by God's grace, I'll still get a feed, because it's not by my skill. Anytime I think it's my skill, I'll have a dry patch for the next 10 times I go out. Nothing, nothing, nothing. And I'm trying with all the skill that I am until I humble myself and say, Lord, I'm no hunter. Man, we've done that even out in the Moana. Think that we know it? Think we can get it? Think we're good? And then God give you a dry patch. I've learned my lessons on those things before. Praise the Lord. And now he gives, and he gives abundantly, that our joy might be full. Because now they're caged and domesticated. Now, I wonder if that's not what happens to the ministry. They become caged and domesticated. They can't find their own food. Amen. Did that happen to the ministry in the days of Saul? When there was no prophet in the land? And then Saul had to go back to a witch of Endor to find the mind of God for a matter? So they're going back to the things that they once destroyed. And look at this. If a man loses the ability to find his own food. I'm talking about a ministry. What has he got to do? He's got to be a clone of somebody else. This is why, brethren, I don't listen to many messages of anybody these days. Why? I have got to find my own channel of inspiration. Glory! I got to go beyond the veil. I got to have the ability to find food for you. And I find that food by waiting on the Lord, committing myself unto Him, keeping the vessel clean. Because the waters of separation cannot be kept in an unclean vessel. And I work hard for you. I work hard naturally. I work hard spiritually. That's why you get spiritual food for the season. Glory! And you would all know that too, saints. Because I love to see, that's one of the greatest rewards I can have, is to see the Word made flesh in you. That's the greatest compliment that you can give me. That's the greatest I am you can give me, is for the Word to be made flesh in you. See the power of prayer breaking forth through you. Seeing the Word being implemented, seeing you stand for the Word, that encourages me. Where one of the saints can stand by the Word, and I see that stand, my goodness, I get encouraged. Just like I was saying, when the Lord was looking over the banister, He was so proud. Glory! And there was only a couple that He could feel proud about. Amram and Jochebed. In a prayer meeting with God. And the Lord look over the banister. Woo! Michael, Gabriel, come here. Look at this. Read it. Read it in the teaching of Moses. There's somebody down there that believes my word. And that's the joy of a pastor. When he sees there's somebody in the church that believes the word, wants to live for the word. And see them raise up into heavenly places. Whew, that's far better than any pat on the back. Now watch this. What's this cunning move? And the king spake unto Asphanez, the master of his Enoch, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well favored and skillful in all wisdom and cunning and knowledge and understanding science, and such as had the ability to stand in the king's place, palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. Wasn't that one of the parts of colonialism? Take away their culture, put their own culture in, and then take away their reo. Come on. And then teach them our reo. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank. Come on, saints. Because the wine is chemical warfare. It's intoxication. It's perverting the appetite, giving them a craving for more. Look what's happened in New Zealand. Alcoholism. Right? Chemical warfare. Cigarettes, chemical warfare. How come they can't stop pee from coming into the country? How come they can't stop the ingredients? They don't want to stop the ingredients. This is a way for them to control the people. Because a Maori warrior standing in his inheritance is a hard fella to move. But give him some chemical warfare. You can take him now. Hey, you can take him. You can bind the strong man through chemical warfare. You can bind him through information warfare. So that even our trusts in our rohe are fulfilling the mandates of the government. Why? Funding. Come on. And look at the funding all over the rohe, drying up. Is that right? Becoming stricter and stricter. So that actually a lot of the social services are in dire needs. Because the government wants to take away anything Maori. It has a trickle-down effect. Is that why we're supporting the registration plates, kaupapa? I'm trying to make it cheaper for you to live. But I want to do it by the word. Come on. I want to take away some of the fees. I want to show you by example why you don't have to have tags in your cow's ears. Oh, but brother, you can get 2,600 for that cow. I don't want 2,600. I want meat in my freezer. Well, that is, you know, because what? You're trying to use money to change my principles? Can't do it. Sorry. Oh, but the government, I don't care. I want to live and stand by faith. I want to break away from every Babylonian tentacle that would keep us bound. I want to live. I preach living in an economy by faith, and I want to do that. The husbandman must be first partaker of the fruit. We're having whole meals that come from the mara, come from the moana, and come from the ngahere. Beautiful kai. Amen. And Sister Anne made us a soup from the mara. Woo-hoo! Sprinkle with basil from the mara. Two plates full for me, thank you very much. Trees are still sneaking in some corn. Not from the mara. But then she's saying, well, in 2 hours is ripe. So control their food and drink for 3 years. Is that going to really completely change their appetite, their diet and everything? Because their wine is a chemical warfare. Their food is chemical warfare. Drop down to 8. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. He wouldn't defile himself with the king's food. This is a real revelation and then conviction. Because you cannot have conviction if you don't have revelation of what this means. I want to break every tentacle of Mystery Babylon. Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now look at this. Even in the ranks of Babylon, God allows you to find favor with somebody that causes you to be able to stand on the word of God. Glory! I'm talking about verse 9. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. Woo! If you want to stand for God and his word, he will make a way when it seems impossible. I want to show you these examples by the scripture. You want to make a stand, he makes it possible for you to stand. Even though the mandates make it impossible to stand, God will make a way. What's that song that we sing? God will make a way when it seems to be no way. He works in ways we cannot know. He will make a way for you. He will be my guide. Hold me closely to his side. Glory! He will make a way. He gives you an ally in the king's house. You think this one in the king's house will come through the white throne judgment? Come on, saints. This is what those that come through the white throne judgment are built up from. Those that do good for the bride. We're given an opportunity, brothers, to you, to stand for the word. And then give somebody an opportunity to be able to receive eternal life at the white throne judgment. Look at the principles that are laying here in the nuggets that are sitting here in the word. He gave them a way to stand for the word and deny the mandate. And all he had to do was to stand by faith, and God opened up the Red Sea. Thank you, Jesus. And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my Lord the king, who hath appointed your meat and your drink. For why should he see your faces worse? Liking then the children which are of your sort. Then shall you make me endanger my head to the king. This is a serious matter. If I give you what you want, and you lose your health and your strength to serve in his kingdom, it'll cost me my head. Now that can be quite persuasive. Well, look at wisdom. Wisdom finds a way. The word will always find a way. Because it's not just opening the door and you walk through it. Praise God. Hallelujah. No, you got to show your faith. You got to show your wisdom. Now Daniel's got to speak. He's in a circumstance. This man says, if I do what you tell me, it's going to cost me my head. Not just my job, my head. Is that pressure coming on you? Now you've got to use wisdom to overcome the pressure. Praise God. Then said Daniel to Melzar, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Michael and Azariah, prove thy servants. This is why it's canceled. Prove thy servants, I beseech you, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. Brethren, do you realize that this is not Jenny Craig's, but this is God's diet? And he said, prove it for 10 days. Because you can try this diet, you can try that diet, you can try that diet, but God didn't give that kind of diet. Daniel said, let me just eat vegetables. Vegetables ain't keto diet, right? Keto is what? Meat. Yeah, nobody wants to say something, eh? Nobody wants to say anything, eh? Look at the diet God was giving. Look at the wisdom Daniel come under. And he chose the diet that he would eat because he refused to take the king's meat, the king's food. He refused to be rehabilitated in the system. Glory! And he said, come and check out my diet, the effects of my diet after 10 days. Glory. I don't know. I would say after the first couple of days, you know, you remember what I was saying last week when I said I got to get used to salad? Me? Get used to salad? I got to start to enjoy salad? Whew. I'm not saying it's easy. What's the best drink? Water. So how many still love your fizzies? Eli, the king of V. How many love the energy drinks? Look at that, huh? What's the best drink? Cold water. Cold water from Hukurunui. You fellas tasted my water? Oh man, I tell you. Hey? But you get a craving every now and again. Man, I get this because I'm eating this, you know, 10 days worth of diet. I apply the word, but I get a little craving and I got a stash of, what? I got a stash of chocolates beside my bed and I think to myself, I'll just eat one or two. You always got the same? That's the stash that you keep away from the mokos? Sasha, here's the culprit. She always can find my stash. She says to me, Papa, your stashes are easy to find. And I don't know, you let go to the impulse. I'm just going to have a couple. Because there's a craving to you know, and you use a reasoning that, you know, I'm just adjusting to the diet. It's like when we were vegetarians for 7 years. And the Teresa would sneak out and buy a mince pie. I'd give it to her. I'd say to you, Babylon. I'd give it to her, boy. It'd make it feel so bad. Babylon. So it takes a bit. It's not cold turkey. But I notice that when I start to take one and then I take two and two becomes five and then half of the packet is gone. And I think to myself, I better stop. But that compulsiveness. One more. And then what I found was when I did that, I got crook. I paid the price because I broke that diet that God gave me. And then it makes it easier to come off those things. But the reason why I'm looking at that is there was wisdom in what Daniel was saying. Because he refused to be rehabilitated. And now, because remember, food dictates your behavior. And I find myself when I eat healthy, I don't need as much sleep as a normal person. And you know what? I can have a feed in the morning. I can work right through until 9 o'clock at night. Oh no, I want to have something in between. Give me some strength, give me some energy, and then keep going. And I'm talking about not only physical stuff, but I'm talking about mental stuff. I'm talking about being sharp when you're dealing with certain things, when you're finding names in the book, when you're giving counsel nationally and internationally. You're sharp. Because what did Daniel say? Prove me for 10 days. And let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. V? Fizzy? Water. Have any of you tried to resist fizzies? Come on, some of you fellas that put your hands up, have you tried to resist it? Did it work? And I tell you what, when I'm talking about how sharp you become, I'm not just talking about this because through a hole in my head. I'm talking about a sharpness that comes. You want to be sharp? Then let our countenance be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the children that eat of the portion of the king's meat. Compare us. Compare us to those that were being rehabilitated. And as thou seest, deal with thy servants. So we can send it to them in this matter and prove them 10 days. And what happens, saints? At the end of 10 days, their countenances appeared fairer, much more healthy, and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. You imagine your skin is more radiant. Amen. Your whole atmosphere is different. Your wairua is different than those that were taking the king's meat. And what did the king do? What did Melzar do? Took away the portion of the meat and the wine that they should drink and gave them pulse. As for these four children, God gave them knowledge. Why did he give them this knowledge? Skill in all learning and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. This is not just healthy naturally, saints. This is healthy spiritually. You want to be sharp? You want to be able to catch these things without drifting off? You want to stay focused? This is how you do it. Colonialism is to take away your sharpness, to take away your channel of inspiration with God. But living off vegetables and water gave them skill and understanding. And then the king tested them. Right? And he found out that Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were 10 times wiser and 10 times healthier than all of his astrologers, soothsayers, and all of these different things. Brethren, prove him at his word. Can I give you a 10-day challenge? You want a 10-day challenge, saints? And then let you come before Melzar. That's what my workers used to call me. To let me examine you. To see whether you're 10 times wiser, 10 times fairer. Let us have a questions and answers session on a Wednesday night. See how sharp you are. Come on, saints. Hey. What do you reckon? You up for the challenge? Hey, I didn't hear enough amens. You want skill, wisdom, understanding. The word is showing us how to do it, and this is how to break away from the dictates of this world and of this life. What about those that didn't follow these commandments of the Lord? They become like Eli, who become old. Lost his sensitivity. Wouldn't correct his children. Is that right? The priesthood was going blind, saints. And when they went blind and then they were, the people begin to abhor the offerings. And when they should have been giving God the best, they took that portion that was given to the Lord and took it unto themselves. And then what took place after that, saints? The glory of the Lord departed. Ichabod. The glory of the Lord departed. But there was a Hannah. Amen. There was a Hannah that had a one woman prayer meeting. There was a Hannah that wanted to bring forth a judge that was more than a judge, that could judge without partiality. There was a woman that wanted to see the revival back into the church again. They wanted to see the supernatural God come back down to their midst. They wanted to see the glory of the Lord upon this place. And this doesn't happen just by mechanics, saints. This doesn't happen, saints, just by eating sheepcote food. What am I saying? What I'm giving you right now is sheepcoat food. But what about when the shepherd leadeth the sheep out? Would that be the mechanics in the sheepcoat? Am I giving you some mechanics? But does that mechanics have to become dynamics so that the word can be put into action? Glory! Because as the shepherd leading the sheep out, he needs sheep food for outside of the sheep coat. And this is what we want to do, saints. We want to take you down to Brother Jordan's. We want to take you and go down to Brother Andrew's. I don't know, I really feel that there's a focus on Aotearoa this year. We want to take you down to Brother Kaisenham's. I'm talking about the whole church. Come on, because the shepherd has to lead the sheep out. We want to take you to Waitangi. Come on. So we can raise funds. Man, let's buy us a bus. End time evangelism. Take our secret weapons, our rangatahi, our tamariki. And when they begin to get up and sing and worship and praise God, hallelujah, let's see what God can do in these ways. Are we wanting to go up into Matai Bay? Is the shepherd leading the sheep out? On a Sunday, brother? Absolutely. You think we just need to have church in the whare? No, we can have fellowship up in Matai Bay. We can include. Amen. All Brother Hippers and Sister Roxanne's friends and whānau. We can go and include all the campers. Hallelujah. Tell them we're having praise and worship. We're having prayer line. We're having some end time evangelism. Come and enjoy the service. And while we're doing it, we can have fat kina. Not just kina, fat kina. Look at those packies that we had last time. Look at the blue nose that we had last time. And we can't lower the standards. The standard's got to be high. And we could speak mosquitoes out of existence. To speak mosquitoes out of existence, you've got to have faith. To get rid of our fear of mosquito bites, you have to have perfect love. Because perfect love casts out all fear. So I wonder if that's this kind of year. I wonder if this is why the Lord is wanting us to break ourselves from all the tentacles of mystery Babylon and come into a faith civilization and then go out. Jesus didn't keep them in the church. He leaded the sheep out. And then now they can accomplish greater things than what they would have done just sitting in the church, hiding our light under a bushel. Brethren, we want to go out. We want to, you know, because what is our rest? A change of activity. Come on, saints. And you got to be sharp to be able to fulfill these things. Now, how do we break these things? I'm just closing these things down now. Understand the word. Walk in the word. Document your 10-day challenge. You imagine, no lollies, no fizzy. What do you reckon, Talia? Easy as E. No. Stay with the word. Colonialism is anti-Christ. What's the definition the prophet gave us for anti-Christ? Anyone remember that? The Antichrist is what? Okay, tell me after the 10 days. Hey? Tell me after the 10 days. The Antichrist spirit is against the teaching of the word. It's all those influences that will pull you away from the word. We want to make sure that we stand for every word that proceeded out of his mouth. Do you think that would bring such joy into your heart? To be able to make a stand like that, saints? Amen. Let's stand to our feet. I got pages and pages here, but I feel we've made a point for today. If there was Ichabod, how was Hannah going to bring the glory of the Lord back? She prayed, saints. She had a one-woman prayer meeting, and Eli, the priest that was going blind, misunderstood her. Thought she was a woman of Belial. And in that time of misunderstanding, she said to him, I am not a woman of Belial as you think. But the prophet said she was a woman that had come into a painful desire. She was thirsting for God. Hasn't God given us an appetite for that, saints? She had a painful desire. She was thirsting for the supernatural back into the church. And as she began to pray, a woman that was barren, that had not brought forth fruit, and God gave her grace, opened up her womb, and she brought forth a Samuel. And as the light was going out in the temple, the light was coming into a vessel. You remember that service, saints, I preached on keepers of the sacred flame? And as the light was coming on in Samuel, what did she do with the gift? Before she brought the gift into the church, what did she do with the gift? She had to wean the gift. She had to take the gift off the milk. Amen. Have you been taken off the milk? Hallelujah. Strong meat belongeth to them that are mature. And after she's weaned them, she brought the gift into the temple. And then that gift began to grow in the temple of God. And the Lord began to call the gift. This is what takes place. That's the pattern, saints. I don't have to positionally place you in the promise, even though I can direct you in the way. God knows how to stir your heart to be able to come into your place and position in the body, in Christ. And then you begin to function under the unction of the Holy Spirit. It's not the outside teacher no more. It's the inside teacher. And then when that gift was positionally placed in the body, look at it begin to edify the body in love. It had to get sensitized to the voice of the Lord. It still was receiving instructions from Eli because the gift had to be under governors and tutors. Not just one governor and one tutor, because this was showing us how to come into adoption. Governors and tutors. One of my governors was Brother Branham. He gave me vision to see the word. He was one of my governors. And I've had governors and tutors to bring me into adoption. I can prove my adoption. I can show you my pedigree. You have to understand these principles in the word to prove that you've come into a place of adoption so you can now edify the body in love. Glory. And then when that gift took its place, when Ichabod, when the ark, when the word had been taken by the Philistines, the glory of the Lord began to shine through the gift that was placed in the hands of God. And the church came into revival through the ministry of Samuel. Was Samuel the last judge before the raising up of the king? Come on, saints. Was Brother Branham the last judge before the raising up of the king? Amen. Look at these types and patterns in the scripture. Look at where we are in the word. We can take these patterns from anywhere in the Bible. But in the book of Judges, what was the key to the book of Judges, saints? Every man was right in his own eyes. In the beginning of the book of Judges, in the middle of the book of Judges, and the last verse in the book of Judges, every man was right in his own eyes. What had happened? The children of Israel were in their inheritance. Because what redemption is about is taking you from Babylon and placing you back into your inheritance. What did I say to you on Wednesday night? I'm not looking for leaves. I'm looking for fruit. Because 2025 and the time of the harvest is a time for fruit. Glory. I want to be able to see the fruit of the third pull. And the third pull is first and second pull plus. There's no subtraction. It's all addition. I want to see the effects of His presence. I want to feel the atmosphere that you create in your praise and worship. I want strangers that come through those doors, they realize they were in the presence of the Lord because they were in your presence. I want you to become a mystic that can not only see from eternity to eternity, but can live from eternity to eternity. Hallelujah. Is that something that we can accomplish in 2025? Hallelujah. And then we want to be able to see that on display in every member in the church. Thank you, Jesus. A gracious Father. I've not shunned to give the fellowship the full counsel of your word. We're opening up a vision, oh God, for 2025. We want to shake ourselves free from every tentacle of mystery Babylon. We've talked about coming into an economy by faith for years now. But I think, Lord, we're so close to these things now. When I see, oh God, what's happening in Ukraine and Russia, what's happening with NATO, when I'm seeing what's happening in the trade routes, when the colonialistic power of the image to the beast is wanting to take Greenland, looking for trade routes, wanting to take chunks of Alaska, looking for trade routes, wanting to take Panama, to be able to take that canal there, trade routes, economy to bring in the mark of the beast. When I see what's happening in Israel, when I see the fulfillments of the prophecies of Amos, when I can think about all of those things that our prophet said under that eagle anointing, and I see that the time is so close, I can safely say money will fail. And when money fails, and then we got to give our materials for food. And when our resources fail, we've got to give our whenua for food. And then the last commodity that we have after our house is gone and our land is gone, the last commodity we have is our soul. And many are selling their souls to these world systems. Hallelujah. But in the midst of all of this, I can find favor with you, oh God, because of my desire to stand for your word, to come into that faith civilization. And if I'm going back to Eden, there's got to be some practical ways about those things too, Lord. What a harmony that we can come to in this Garden of Eden. In this mara here in the church. Hallelujah. And I'm thankful, Lord, that the former rain and the latter rain is falling in the same season. Blessed be your wonderful name. So that the new converts, oh God, are getting former rain. The saints that are pillars in the church that have been around, oh God, that have been built up in the faith. The latter rain can be falling to ripen the grain. And this is a season of fruit. May each one of us bring forth 100-fold, Father, so we can edify the body in love, so we can sustain one another in a time like this. Grant these things, Father, I pray. Committing all of you, give us wise and understanding hearts, Father. And those that would purpose in their hearts to try out this 10-day test. Hallelujah. May they become 10 times wiser, 10 times fairer. I don't think that's a hardship, Lord, to eat good tucker, drink good water. But if you were going to increase our knowledge and our understanding and our skill and our wisdom, I don't think that's too much to pay, Lord. To have the whole church so sharp. Whoo! That I can retire. Glory! Blessed be your holy name. I've always wanted to preach myself out of a job, Lord. And then every circumstance that the brethren face, they can master it by the word. I don't believe this is a figment of our imagination, Lord. I believe that that's a living reality. Glory. I ask these things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Thank you, Jesus. Glory. I want to go. Praise God. Glory. Start with the chorus. Sister. Thank you, Jesus. I want to go. Hey. All right. Want me to send me, Lord, do the things you do, my Lord. I want to go. I want to feel your presence near, perfect love, casting out all fear, my I want to feel a burning desire in me to be more like thee is growing stronger. Brother Larry. I'm thankful for you.
winner in life's race. Now I give myself to you. I'm resolute.
Oh, I want to go where you want me to. Send me home to do the things you do.
Been conquered. Some of us are yet to take ourselves.
As we recognize what has been done, let's move forward to claim our heritage.
There is great strength.
There is great strength.
When we unite.
God.
Working together
in one accord.
Come help me and I'll help you.
There is so much work to do.
Working in harmony and love. Under the leadership of the dove. Joining hearts and hands until we all stand in the stature of a perfect man.
One shall move a thousand to fly. And two shall
journeys.
His love.
started in the mind of God. Ever lifted in the glorified body, he condescended the weakest thing. We're on a journey that started.
Over the Kai Hall, just that way. All are welcome. Come and feed. Hey, after a spiritual feed this morning, there's some natural Kai over there also. Amen. I love you, Lord.
I love you, Lord. For your word has never failed me. And all my days, you have more. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, oh, I will sing all my praises to you, Lord.
I love your word. You have carried me through my trials and darkest hour. Once your footprints in the sand,
carried all my burden.
You carried all my burdens. You carried all my cares. Oh, I will sing all my praises to you, Lord. And all my life you have been faithful. And all my
I love your word.
You have carried me through my trials.
And he forever
will be darkest hour.
Darkest hour.
Once the pilgrims
was lifting you up, amen.
You carried all my burdens. You carried all my praises to Lord.
And all our lives.
And all my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good.
Hallelujah.
Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory.
This is my desire to thank you.
Each day I live.